morning, good afternoon. I just really feel in my spirit that the Lord of the breakthrough is present. Amen. Okay. All right. The title of this message is called The Blueprint of Your Dream. And this is a very personal message. It's kind of like, it's not only just what God downloaded to me to share with all of you, it applies to all of us. But it's amazing how when God downloads something to you, you know, many times you're actually living it out. And I just, before I get into the meat of it, I wanted to share a little bit of my testimony so that you would be encouraged and that you can see that God has dreams for each and every one of you. So no one is excluded. So what we're talking about is God dreams, not fleshly dreams. So for example, I'm 4'10 and a half. It would not be a godly dream for me to say I want to play in the NBA, okay? But these are God dreams that God has put inside you from the moment of your conception that is purposed for you and specific for you. And what they really are is they represent God's vision, okay, of the legacy that he has purposed for your life, all right? We each have a legacy that he desires us to fulfill, okay? The God dreams come from God. We don't have to manufacture it, but he will reveal these dreams to you. And, you know, it's bigger than you. I think that I know that living out the God dream will bring personal fulfillment, but ultimately what's more important is it's about advancing his kingdom. It's about making disciples of all nations. And that's the bigger picture. We can be thankful that God, in his love and in his goodness, has given us dreams to fulfill, okay? Dreams that are meaningful and important and significant to us, but the bigger picture is about advancing his kingdom, amen? Next slide, please. Okay, I hope you can see all of it. So I want to make this interactive, okay? The blueprint, I call this message the blueprint of your dream, and I am going to talk about three components. One is your identity, your purpose, and then your path, and they need to be followed in this specific order, okay? Your identity means that you need to pursue God, you need to know who your father is. You need to understand his character. You need to be open to receiving his thoughts, his ways, submitting to them. You need to get to know his heart. You need to do that before you know who you are in him. Once you know who you are in him and who God the Father is to you, that will lead to a revelation of your identity. Amen. If you do not embrace your identity in God, your life purpose will either be obscured or unknown, distorted, or perhaps not fully realized. But if you do embrace your identity in God, that will lead to a revelation of your purpose. The revelation of your purpose will put you in position. God will position you to receive direction from God to walk in your path. Amen? Amen. So I just, like I said, I want to make this interactive, okay? So say, just declare my identity, my purpose, my path, okay? So we're going to talk about all three of these. Now, okay, before I get started, I just, like I said, I wanted to share a little bit of my testimony. I think that it will hopefully inspire and encourage you. So today I would have to say that I am living out the path of my dreams. And when God gives you a dream, it's more than one. I think that you may be aware of one, but there are more than one. So I am living out my dreams. My life really didn't start this way. I grew up in church. I was saved at a young age, but I had an identity issue. The reason is that I was pretty much abandoned by my parents. I suffered rejection and abandonment. My grandmother raised me. And even though I grew up in church, and I thank God for that, because he saved me at a young age, but I was still walking around with an orphan spirit for many years, okay? I didn't see myself as a son or a child of God because I was carrying around a lot of baggage from I think, the wounds, the mother and father wounds. I also grew up under a very critical spirit. I think that this is very common in Asian culture, and it seemed like no matter how much I tried, I felt unloved, I was never good enough, you know. I was never affirmed, okay? And my grandmother, she raised me and she loved me, and it was difficult circumstances. We grew up in poverty. She was a nurse in Hong Kong, but when she came to the States, she couldn't speak English, so she couldn't continue her employment. So she became a seamstress, and as such, it was just, you know, me and her against the world. We lived in poverty. I didn't have a father figure, and that means that I just didn't feel safe. I didn't feel secure. I always felt like something bad was going to happen to me, or that somebody was going to pull the rug out from under me. So as I grew up, I was really broken and very unstable. I suffered a lot of self-rejection, fear. I developed this pattern of perfectionism because I always felt like I wasn't good enough, so I had to try harder. Anger and shame. And basically, my behavior and my mindset was really all about performance. I didn't recognize that. I thought, hey, I'm just being ambitious, right? And I'm setting goals. But it was really a performance mindset. I felt like I had to earn acceptance, I had to earn my worth, and my self-worth was just based on my achievements. Now, where do dreams come in? My dream from the time that I was a little baby, my grandmother told me that I would stand up in my crib and I would just sing every morning, and that was something that God gave me, but I did not value it. And due to the circumstances of living in poverty, that was not something that I pursued as a vocation. As you know, the term starving artist, right? So I felt like, you know what, I'm just going to put that aside and maybe I'll just sing in church. But it's really not something that I could do from a practical standpoint. Life for me was about survival. And because I felt like my life was out of control growing up, I'm going to control my life. And I'm going to do everything possible that I can to set myself up for success. And I think that that is how I looked at life. Now, as far as God, I knew that God loved me because he's God and he's supposed to love. But I didn't see him as my father. I really couldn't, because I viewed him through the lens of my father who just wasn't around. So I knew God loved me because he was God, but I didn't believe that he liked me. There's a big distinction there. Okay, God can love you, but liking means that he wants to be around you. He wants to spend time with you. He just delights in you. So I didn't believe that, okay? So I didn't trust him. I thought I did, but I honestly, I had to be real to myself. I really didn't trust him. I was afraid that, you know, maybe one day he'll be there for me and another day he may show up or pull the rug out from under me at the last moment. So as I grew up, I tried to find my identity, and my career became my identity. I got a management job in marketing, and my self-worth was based on my title, on my salary, the accolades from people. I got many promotions, which I was happy about, but I just didn't have lasting fulfillment. Nothing that I did ever brought lasting fulfillment because I didn't know who I was in God. And what happened, unfortunately, was that because of all that striving to achieve and to perform, my priorities were really out of place. It was me. It was all about me. And then my family, and then God, or me, God, and then family. But they were just out of place. And life became very busy after a while, but it was truly unfruitful. You can be busy, but you can be unfruitful, right? Because it was really not for a purpose. I didn't have a vision of what God had for me. And it was basically about performing. I performed at church, I performed at work, I performed at home, okay? The turning point didn't come until There was a season in life where my husband and I were so unhappy, so burnt out from the busyness, the unfruitful life, that we just said, God, we can't take anymore. Is this what life is about? Is there any more? We just wanted to get out of town. We tried moving so many times, and God never allowed it. I think some of you know that, right? So if he wasn't going to allow us to escape and move, because that's really denial, you're not dealing with the root issue, then it's about, okay, God, what is it? I need a breakthrough. I need a turnaround. We just basically said to God, Lord, do whatever you need to do. Because we didn't know what else to pray. And sometimes you're in that place, right? You just don't know what to say. And it's not about the articulation of the words. God sees you. He sees your condition. He knows the cry of your heart. And the only thing that we knew to say in prayer was, God, just do whatever you need to do to turn our lives around. And that he did. That he did. He turned our lives around 180 degrees. And what that meant was it was 6 years of wilderness. And I think that wilderness, we tend to think about the financial struggles, you know, the dry periods, which there definitely was. But the fruit that came out of that cannot be compared. There is nothing that could have replaced that season in our lives. If I could, if I needed to, I would say, yes, I'll go through all of that again. Because in the desert, there were springs in the spirit. And that was when we really got to know God as, or I have to speak for myself, God as my Father. That developing that intimacy of relationship, seeing supernatural provision of food and of money when we need it. I don't have time to go through all that testimony, but just trust me, God, just our faith in God and his works through us just exploded in that six-year period. So, you know, we had Michael, our fifth child. I gave up my career. We faced foreclosure in all of that. But yet he was faithful to provide every single day. We never lacked. He also healed mother and father wounds. And it was also the time, if any of you have read our book, that we had the worshiping gatherings in our home. And that was a time of training and preparation for what we are doing today. And that was also the time that God opened our eyes and worked in me, I have to speak for myself, to move me from a performance mindset to grace. And in this season, it's about supernatural restoration. I was out of work for 6 years. He gave me my career back. My voice was broken. I couldn't sing. He healed my voice. He has given me songs and music to write. He just revealed to me, I mean, I knew about the singing, but you know how I said that there's more than one dream that God gives you? One day, I received a word that I was supposed to write, and I said, really? Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Well, God, thank you. However you choose to make that happen, I know you're going to do it, and the opportunity came up for Hubie to write a book, and that was kind of like how it started. It just flowed, and what was amazing was that God used the journey that I walked through my job to develop the gifts and the skills needed to help write. I thought that for a while, you know, I'm at my job, I'm spending 10 to 12 hours a day at work, it's not for the kingdom, what am I doing here? I want to be in full-time ministry. No, God has you where you are for a purpose, and nothing is ever in vain. So it was through my job, the years that I spent at my job, and I'm still there, that I developed the skills to help write that book. Amazing, right? And he also gave us a ministry, which was like something that kind of blew our minds. We didn't think that we were qualified to have a ministry. But this is all about God flowing through you and working through you. It's not about your own natural ability or your qualifications through schooling. God can use anyone. He can use anyone at any time. So he can use education, and other times he'll just give it to you. Amen. Okay, so next slide, please. There we are. Okay, got it. All right, so the key verse is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to deconstruct this verse and talk about some principles. So next slide, please. Okay, so the first section is, can you just all, let's all repeat this together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Okay, now you see those words in the box? I want you to, let's declare it together, okay? I am his masterpiece. Okay, so let's talk about that for a few minutes. The verse associated with this is in Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. We are his masterpiece. He took time to conceive us. He took time to create us. You're the work of Almighty God, a work of God's hands. And God, what did he say when he created the heavens and the earth and everything that filled the earth? He said his creation is good. So you have inherent value. You are good. You cannot reject yourself. Amen. If you reject yourself, that's something you need to work on, because God is good and he created you to have inherent value. He created you in love. If you are God's masterpiece, that means he knows all about you. He knows how you tick. He knows your potential, because he's the one who put that potential, those dreams inside of you. So it's all there. You don't need to manufacture it. You just need to develop that love relationship with him, and all will be revealed in due time. His child. I am his child. Can we say that together? I am his child. So 1 John 3:1 says, see how great a love the Father, our Father, has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. That again, emphasis on relationship. It's not just enough to know God. You need to know that you're his child. Being a child of the Almighty God means that you are royalty. That's part of understanding your identity. You are royalty. You are not the tail. You are the head. You are an heir of God. You are co-heir with Christ. And that means you have all the rights of being his child. You have provision. You will experience his tender care. And importantly, you will have authority, so that when you start living out your God dreams, you will have authority in the sphere of influence that he has given you. You hold your head up high when you walk in. There is no shame, there is no condemnation, and there is no rejection for those of you, or those of us who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Amen. I am his beloved. Say that with me, please. I am his beloved. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Solomon 6:3. And what that speaks to is the intimacy and the depth of his love, the jealousy of the love that God has for you. He doesn't want to share the love that you have for him with anyone else. Do you see the progression? Masterpiece, child, beloved. That is who you are to God. He's saying that you're his beloved, and he is yours. There's some ownership there. Amen? And there is covenant there. That is the truth of who you are. That's part of what you need to receive and believe about yourself if you are to realize your identity in Christ. His image. Repeat after me. I am made in his image. Galatians 5:22 to 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What the reason this verse is relevant is that we are created to reflect the character of God in everyday life, no matter what we do, no matter where we grow. We are created in his image. We're to be a reflection of his love to each other and to the world. So just to take that a little further, if you're created in his image and you say that you love God, well, we are, and that means that you have to love yourself, right? You have to love yourself. By definition, you have to love yourself. And if you don't love yourself and you don't know how God sees you, then pray and ask God that he would open your eyes so that you would see yourself the way he sees you, that you would love yourself the way that he loves you. It's a command. Amen? Repeat after me. I am his ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What this means is that the fulfillment of your God dream is what God is going to use as your platform and opportunity to represent Christ to the people that he brings to you, so that you, through your ministry, can draw others unto him. We are all his ambassadors. Every day we are his ambassadors. Amen? Okay. All right. So we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So let's just repeat very quickly. I am his masterpiece. I am his child. I am his beloved. I'm made in his image. And I am his ambassador. Okay, next slide, please. Okay. So the next part of the verse is for good works. Can you repeat after me? I am called by name. I am appointed for a specific purpose. I am filled with the Spirit of God. I work in excellence. The key verse here is Exodus 31, 1 to 6. And this is about God calling a master artisan, Bezalel, to build his tabernacle. See, I have called by name Bezalel. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. So what does this mean? How do we translate that? One is that your dream, your God dream, is specific and unique to you. No one else can do what you do the way that you do it, the way that God has created you to do it, right? You are appointed by God, specifically appointed by God. He's the one who's going to raise you up and strategically place you in position for the purpose that he's designed you to fulfill. The name Bezalel means in the shadow of God. I thought that was very interesting when I found that out. And I think that what that implies is that God's spirit is the source of Bezalel's skill, the way that he was able to be a craftsman, the intricacy and the details and the excellence with which he worked to help build the implements of the tabernacle. That all came from God's spirit. You don't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. But when God calls you by name to do it, he empowers you to do whatever he's called you to do. And being in the shadow of God is no better place to be, because when people look at you, they will see God's glory on you. You will be overshadowed by the Spirit, and they will know that it, they may not know that it's the Holy Spirit and not you, but you will, and his spirit will cast a shadow over them also. They will feel his presence. They will be drawn to the glory of God. Amen? Now, working in excellence and having authority over the sphere of influence. Did we say this? Did we repeat all of them? Because now I don't remember. Huh? We didn't do it? Which one didn't we do? Oh, okay. All right. Work in excellence. I have authority over my sphere of influence. God has called me to leave a legacy. Thank you. Okay. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So the first point that I want to make is about excellence, and I want to contrast that to perfectionism, okay? Perfectionism is about striving, and it's about performance, okay? That's not what this verse is referring to. When we strive and we have a performance mindset, we try to do things in our own strength. We try to do things according to our own ability. But this is about flowing with the Spirit of God. He equips you to work in excellence. And excellence also means that you have a desire to please God in the work that you do, right? Doesn't the Word of God say that you do your work as according to the Lord, right? And you do it in secret and he will reward you openly. It's not flesh-led. It's not rooted in fear or selfish desires. And as a child of God, we already just said we're an heir of God, we're co-heir with Christ. We need to understand, we need to receive that, we need to believe that, and we need to walk in that in order to have authority. Authority in your sphere of influence, right? The people that God has brought before you, the people that God has called you to speak life into, you have the authority wherever you go to release the love and the peace of God. You have the authority wherever you go to bind and to loose. Right? Any evil spirit you bind and you loose the opposite. Right? By the Spirit. And you also are given wisdom. The wisdom of God to exercise in decision making. Repeat after me. God has called me to leave a legacy. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. Fruit has reproductive ability to produce after its own kind. And when you bear fruit in your sphere of influence, it's going to reproduce in the people, in the lives that you touch. And that's why we need to understand that God has called us to relationship. Whatever God has deposited in you, it's not just for your own enjoyment or for yourself to keep to yourself. It's about relationship. It's about pouring into people. It's about impacting people. That is the purpose of your God dream, that you would leave a lasting impact. It's about the relationships. It's not just about any tangible things that you create. The dreams are about the people, God said, to make disciples of all nations, right? Next slide, please. So the third part of the verse, Ephesians 2:10, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Can you repeat that with me, please? Which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Let's repeat together. My path is predetermined. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is an appointed time for everything, And there is a time for every event under heaven. This verse really speaks to me a lot, and it's very convicting, because I think that you know, for my own personal testimony, realizing my dream about singing was that I've been waiting for a very long time, and it's finally happening. It's my appointed time to make an album, and I'm starting to make the album, but I waited a long time, you know. For a while I thought, God, is this gonna happen? Really? I mean, I'm not getting any younger, but but time is something that God created for us. God lives outside of time, and he's not constrained by it. Okay? And basically what I have learned is that during that season of waiting, I had to learn to flow with God and not strive, right? When I was growing up, I had such a performance mindset that it was my strength, my ability. I have to roll the boulder up the hill, but it's not about that. God has an appointed time for everything, and you are just to flow with him. It should be, life should be joyful. Life should be, you know, God, when Jesus said to, you know, take your yoke upon me, because my yoke is easy. Okay, if you feel like you're carrying your burdens and they're really weighing you down to the point where you think you can't walk or live, then you need to ask God to lift your burdens to God, and you need to just place them at his feet. Okay, you don't have to make your dream happen. Okay, God will make your dream happen. Okay, you don't need to create your own momentum. You don't need to figure it out. It's a process of revelation through relationship and intimacy with the living God. That's how it happens. God doesn't need your help, but he needs your cooperation. Amen? When you recognize that your path is predetermined, that's going to propel you. That's going to move you from a performance mindset to grace. You're just going to be in God. Amen. Repeat after me. I am qualified. Now, this is something that I really, really struggled with for many years, whether it was in school or at work or even in ministry. Because I had that performance perfectionism, nothing I ever did was good enough. I didn't go to enough school. I didn't take enough singing lessons. I didn't take enough piano lessons. Oh, there's always somebody better than me. I was always comparing myself to other people. I was always jealous of people that were better than me. And that is performance mindset. That is not grace. Okay? But go back to this part of the verse in Ephesians. God prepared. He prepared your work. God prepared your work. When did he do it? He prepared it beforehand. Before he created you, he already conceived of who you are, what he was going to put inside you, your potential, all your dreams. God prepared them. He prepared them beforehand. So what is your role? So that we would walk in them. Walk in them. Amen? So there's like little shift of perspective here. You just need to walk in them. You need to flow with God. Amen? You don't have to dig your path. You don't have to dig a path. He has a path. And you're prepared. You're qualified. Repeat after me. The Holy Spirit will instruct me. And also, I will receive revelation. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So let's just park here for a minute and just think about some of these terms. Instruct means to give insight to. Teach means to direct, to point out. It also means to shoot or to be shot. That speaks to momentum. okay? In the way means the path. So you're going to be shot in the path, in the direction, in that journey that God has for you. But it also speaks to the manner in which you walk in the path. Okay? So it's where and it's how. And it's all been predetermined and prepared beforehand. Okay? The where is about the direction, but the how speaks to our responsibility to flow with the Spirit and not try to do it in our own strength. Amen? And also, very encouragingly, I will counsel you. That means that God, with my eye upon you, that means that God, we all know this, but we need to let this sink in, okay? God is with us on our journey. Right? He prepares the road beforehand. He walks alongside us. He also hems us from behind. He is with us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And his eye is upon you. He is watching over you. He's looking for those moments where he can give counsel, to advise you, to plan, to devise, to encourage, to comfort, to exhort. He is with you on this journey to living out your God dream. Repeat after me. I will trust God's timing and his ways. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This was one of the areas that I think it was difficult for me. God's timing, I think. I think the ways was a little easier. I think it was the timing of God. I'm just being real, okay? Because when you're in a waiting period, you know, sometimes you know, I know that I wavered into, you know, are the promises going to be fulfilled? Is it going to be too late? Am I going to be too old when the promises are fulfilled? How much time am I going to have to live my dream if it doesn't happen till much later? But I'll tell you that when God's appointed season arrives, things will change. Life will change in a heartbeat. You don't have to work your way up to it. Okay? God will change your life in a matter of seconds. It's by divine appointment, and God opens up that door. He's faithful, and I'm testifying. This is my personal testimony, okay? And also, I mentioned earlier that I had helped my husband write the book. All the years that I worked at my job, which I'm still at, that developed my skills to write the book. I didn't know that. I just thought, well, you know, I'm wasting my time at my job. What does this have to do with, you know, my dream or what you have for me and my purpose? But like I said, it was about writing and speaking. It was about God teaching me to work out my insecurities while I was at my job. So nothing is ever wasted. It's about preparation and training. And it doesn't mean that it only happens within the four walls of the church. Your training and preparation can also happen in the marketplace. Amen? And it's about walking in fear of God and not fear of man. That was something that I also struggled with. I always felt like I always needed to say yes. If people asked me something, I would have to say yes. If I didn't say yes, would they accept me? Would they like me? Would they reject me? Is this going to, you know, hurt me down the end? I had to learn to trust God and hear his voice and obey. That yes is a yes and no is a no, and I don't have to worry if it's a no. Because God has purpose, and he will lay everything out. He will work out all the details, but you need to be obedient to God. One other thing I just also wanted to bring up is about revelation. Repeat with me. I will receive revelation. So the part about revelation comes along with trusting God. I think that for myself, I always love to know everything beforehand. Who doesn't, right? And that was something that God really had to work out in me, that God gives us revelation when it's needed, okay? Those of us with control issues, I'll speak for myself, I always wanted to know what was going to happen. Even though I knew I was going to commit to God, I just still wanted to know what was going to happen. I wanted to plan for everything and account for every single detail. That's how I grew up, performance mindset. Stop laughing, Tracy. I was a perfectionist, okay? But what God had to work out in me was that you can trust me to give you, to download revelation to you, the answers, the ideas, whatever it is you need. Know that I'm faithful to download it to you when you need it. You don't have to work for it. You just have to be open to receiving. You just have to have your frequency tuned in to the Holy Spirit, and you will receive revelation for whatever you need when you need it. We don't need to beg. We don't need to demand. God will give you revelation. Amen. The last the last principle, repeat with me, God is for me. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior, and he will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love, and he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I just so love this verse, because it just sums it all up, that God, he is always in our midst. He is with us. We may not feel his presence sometimes, but the truth is that he is with us, he is in us, he is all around us. And when we have that awareness, and we can have the awareness of his presence, we can cultivate his presence, we can welcome his presence to be tangible. But even in moments when they are not, we still know the truth is that he is with us. God Emmanuel, right? A victorious warrior means that God is the one who fights our battles. When we encounter resistance or trials or tribulation, it's but for a season. He gives us strength to stand up under any temptation. He gives us strength to keep walking through. If you're still waiting for your dreams to be activated and to walk in them, he shows you how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And that comes through declaring his promises. That comes through thanking God, even though you may not see the manifestation of that dream yet, but yet with your mouth you declare, you pull things that are already spoken and predetermined in heaven, and you declare them so that they will be manifested on earth at the appointed time. Amen. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I love that. God is our cheerleader. He is our cheerleader. He is the greatest cheerleader. God gets excited when we are walking in his will. He is excited for us. When I was growing up, I think I had a really distorted view about God. I saw him as someone who was stern and angry, and someone who was always trying to correct me, or he was unhappy with me, he was displeased, and I used to, this is terrible, it was really distorted, but I used to think of God as, yeah, I'll love you, all right, you know, come on in. I didn't understand, because of my upbringing, that was not God's heart. That was not God's character. God is a joyful God. God is good. He is love. He loves, but he is love. Amen. So that is all I have for today. And I just really believe that the Lord is here. The Holy Spirit is present. The God of the breakthrough is here to either awaken you, quicken you, strengthen you, or to activate you to live out your God dreams. And this is born out of the heart of God with the love, his love the greatness of his love through which we are called his children. Amen.
You know, would you stand with me right now? Thank you, Vicky. Yeah. It is about being what God created us to be. It is about moving into things that God has called us to move in, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how we are perceiving our circumstance right now. See, God is still the same. He was and will ever be the same. He is faithful. So what he put within your heart, he's faithful to complete it if we put ourselves in that position to allow him to. You know, and the enemy, he's got one job, separate us from God. And separate part of that is to distract. Part of that is to take our focus off of that and doubt what God wants to do in our lives. This was a powerful word today. And I want you to think back. You know, I think of the verse, the God will restore the years the locust has taken from you. That includes your hopes and dreams. That include those things that God put within us. Could have been weeks ago, could have been many years ago. That we allowed life to say, well, I guess it's not going to happen the way, you know, I thought it was going to happen. But if God put those dreams within us, those dreams are meant to be fulfilled. They're meant to be fulfilled, not wished for. They're meant if we allow God, if we put ourselves in that position to press forward in the things he's called us to. So I'd like you to bow your heads right now for a second. I just want you to search within your heart and just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, bring a revelation of what you told me a long time ago, what you showed me a while back that I had given up on, that I doubted you in doing. Because of my own insecurities. That even now I can't see how it's going to happen. Bring it to light, Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to just repeat after me just these words, even if you don't think they apply to you. Father, forgive me for doubting you. I receive now the fullness of what you have called me and destined me to be and do in Jesus' name. What I would like you to do right now is, you know, break up into small groups of threes and fours, no more than that. And I would like you specifically to pray for one another regarding this specific thing, to call out the destiny, the things that God had birthed in you many years ago. Everybody should be with somebody. Please, no more than four people per group. Let your prayers be intimate. Share what you feel comfortable sharing. Otherwise, just be prayed over. God knows the truth. In Jesus' name.